Hello and welcome to Becoming Unstuck, where we tell the stories of internal paradigm shifts. Unsticking from old paradigms is the work of becoming, or setting ourselves free. The process of becoming unstuck is individual but universal. Everyone has their own story to tell, and this show is the table around which we gather together to share and listen. Here we illuminate that becoming unstuck is both journey and destination, process and result, the way home and home itself. These stories can help us understand that the process of becoming unstuck isn't formulaic. It isn't neat and clean. You can't learn it from a book. You have to be willing to get dirty. This kind of education is embodied. It is dynamic and vibrant and messy. This show isn't one in which we cover up that mess, because that mess is life, and what we are here to do is learn to live it. I'm Jessica Sojourn-Libere, and this week I'll be reading an essay I wrote called Begging and Choosing in the Myth of Manifestation. It's a follow-up to the episode I did in April called Being the Role Models We Wish We Had, where I highlighted that I was housing insecure and I felt like my guidepost for the future had been decimated, leaving me without an indication of where to point myself, and I didn't know if I could hold all of that while trying to build and run my practice, which is my true love in this world. When I made that episode, I was really struggling, and that was a week before things got really, really bad. It's almost impossible to explain to someone who hasn't experienced it what it feels like to dance with the kind of vulnerability of being one small shift away from total devastation. It's not something that's entirely real, but it's also not something that's entirely false. No matter how okay you are in any one moment, when things are that vulnerable, any one small tremor could cause the whole thing to fall. And small tremors happen all the time. I had an insight about a year ago while listening to a young Black man from Chicago tell his story, which included an enlightenment experience, which changed his life, and then grief after grief after grief. His tremors just kept coming, and the tower kept falling. Meanwhile, he refused to let that define him. Listening to him talk, I remembered that the basement can always lower. The silver lining of limitlessness is that there is no ceiling to contend with, but the painful truth is that there is no lower bound either. Wounds can always heal, but there is no shortage of things that can wound us. Listening to him talk forced me to come face to face with some truths I hadn't understood before. It forced me to break my own heart in order for it to be able to hold more. Just him sharing his story taught me a lesson that helped me shift my expectation of the process of expansion. That understanding was foundational in helping me keep what was happening in my outer environment from sticking to my inner environment during this latest crisis. Oh right, the basement can always lower, and if I cling to that as part of my identity, this will never get better. I used to pride myself on escape. That was the skill I used to hone without fail. I was so good at finding a way to slip out of something I didn't like because at the time I understood that to be a primary form of self-love. That's only because I hadn't ever really been acquainted with actual self-love. What I was doing by engaging my Houdini side was bulking up my ego. The only way I knew how to love myself was to protect myself. I understood myself to be in a kind of cat-and-mouse relationship with almost everything. I just had to be one trick ahead of disaster. And that's how I understood self-love for most of my life. The world was trying to bring me down, and I knew I was okay if I could escape its clutches. Of course, this kept me unconsciously in a pattern of winding up in a lot of situations where I felt trapped so that I could prove to myself that I was still okay by escaping. It was exhausting and exhilarating and confusing as hell. Though I don't think I fully believed it at the time, this crisis, I was practicing something completely different. All of the work I had done previously prepared me for that in a way I wouldn't be able to articulate until about now. We use a lot of water metaphors when we talk about what's happening in our minds. When we are overwhelmed, we say we are underwater. When we are really struggling, we often say we are drowning. Several wisdom teachers talk about the difference between being the ocean and the waves. Water is my wilderness in almost any form, and I also gravitate to these metaphors. In previous crises, when I thought I was drowning, I would have considered it a win to have scrambled into any passing boat, regardless of who was on it or where they were going. Because at that point, the only goal would have been escape. But the truth is, that's not a great goal. At that time, I didn't know how to separate natural forces from systemic ones. Natural forces are neutral. They are chemistry and physics, but what they are not is human. The universe is a natural force. It doesn't have desires, and it definitely doesn't have clutches. It doesn't want to punish or reward us because it doesn't have wants. It's neutral, which has allowed me to understand that there is no grand plan to capture me or anyone, and thus no reward for escape. And that the game I've been playing really only exists in my own mind. Being able to get clear that though there are systemic and institutional forces at work inside the universe that definitely are meant to dehumanize and break us, the universe itself was not out to get me or anyone. More than that, it just doesn't work that way. Even though I have a much easier time bringing myself back to the expansive place where I understand that the universe is neutral, the practice of bringing myself back there still remains a practice. And the more scared my unconscious becomes about shedding these old, what used to be self-love kinds of models, the scarier the pictures in my mind become. I'm saying this to illustrate that this practice isn't ever really done. There are times when the imagination is quiet, and so there isn't much to practice. It is also true that the stronger the fear we have the courage to question, the easier it becomes to question fear in general, and so the process itself gets easier. But as mentioned before, the basement can always lower, and when it does, it will be even harder to practice at this new level because it's a new challenge. We will be beginners there. This last crisis was that new level of challenge for me. The Nightmare Mind movies were still playing, but I had myself set up with such a strong foundational practice that I was able to withstand those living nightmares, though barely. It took almost all my attention and focus not to succumb to those fears, which made a lot of other things really hard. But I knew enough to understand that if I let myself believe I was actually drowning, I was at risk of making a bad choice, coming from a manic place of survival, which would have had a good chance of landing me right back in the same pattern from which I desperately wanted out. So I waited. I kept myself on what felt like a razor's edge so that I could make a straight-on, centered choice about what was going to happen next. On May 26th, I came across an ad in Craigslist for a unique type of sublease agreement. A couple from France was heading back there for 2 years to care for aging family and was seeking a trio of kind folks to care for their house and elderly dog while they would be away. The rent was halved because of dog care, and from the ad, the house looked unbelievably spacious, beautiful, and kind of perfect for me. I sent them an email that night and went to visit 2 days later. I was staying with friends that week, and when I returned from the visit, I asked people to help me poke holes in my cautious excitement. No one could. I wrote to the couple that afternoon to express my interest and paid my deposit a few days later. This was the centered choice I was hoping for. Space, rent I can afford, and enough time to really get clear on whether or not staying in the Bay is healthy for both my present and my future. In 3 days, my life and future had totally rearranged itself because I was able to challenge the story of being a beggar instead of a chooser, and the green flags just keep coming. The day I sent the deposit, I was staying with a friend's parents because she was in town staying with them and I was staying with her. That night we were all at dinner, talking, and I was sharing my story. My friend's stepmom said, "Wow, you totally manifested that." I stopped short because when I'm in casual conversation, I can't always gauge how much wisdom to bring into it, but I said, "No, I didn't manifest that. I stretched my capacity to stay in an uncomfortable situation because I was training myself in validation. This happened to come along, but I didn't make that happen. I was just able to hold out long enough that the probability of finding the right thing grew bigger. It's taking me a long time to get there, but that's the point I want to make here. Manifestation is a confusing concept. We don't actually manifest anything. That's not the right verb. We don't make things happen. There is a skill here, but that's not it, and the idea that we can manifest something is harmful and confusing. What we can do is get really clear on what feels right and then value our wisdom over our fear. We can practice validating ourselves enough to let that be the guiding force for as long as possible. This is not a guarantee that the right thing will cross our paths, just that if it does, we will be ready for it. And working from our intuition is clean fuel rather than working from fear, which is dirty fuel. Working from our intuition strengthens us. When we really believe we are drowning, when we believe the images that the fear conjures, we can make the mistake of feeling like beggars. In this situation, I said no to offers of housing that came my way when something inside me either didn't know whether or not to move forward or when I felt a strong no. I also felt a lot of fear about that. At the time, I didn't know what would happen, as is always the case. Working from our intuition isn't a textbook test. We can't ace it. As stated before, the universe is neutral. It's not going to reward you with a gold star or a trophy or the love of your life or your dream job or house. That's not the goal of the practice. The goal of the practice is distinctly to separate us from our outer circumstances. That is the actual point, that no matter what's happening outside, the inside is steady. The goal of the practice is being as clear as possible in the present moment for as many moments as we can string together at a time. Repeat. What we do get from that is that we can sustain inner calm in situations that would otherwise knock other folks off balance. Inner calm means we aren't reacting out of habit. It gives us access to conscious choice. Conscious choice gives us more options, more possibilities, and a stronger connection with our wisdom. Options and choice change the limiting factors of how we see and interact with life. If I saw myself as a beggar, I would have been happy for any scrap that came my way. And there are tons of confused people out there just waiting for us to happily accept scraps. It doesn't have to be this way. And sometimes it does. Sometimes we do have to accept scraps. If that is a necessary component of life for some part of our timeline, then doing that without attaching it to our identity, knowing that it is temporary and will change, is itself a form of love. But when we mistake that and incorporate it as part of our identity, we wind up conceptualizing ourselves as beggars, and we can't see that we deserve something more. We keep ourselves there because we believe that's all we can get, and that is fucking heartbreaking. We don't ever have to be beggars. We can be choosers even when things are scary. When the external circumstances force us into situations that we wouldn't otherwise desire, we can still choose to roll with that. Sometimes the waves go down. When that happens, the smartest choice is to float down with them so we don't actually drown. The waves will always come back up, and sometimes the smartest thing we can do is just to go with them until they do. Resistance to the present or past is strictly a losing game, and only when we understand that can we wholeheartedly affect the future well. The work of manifesting is actually the work of self-validation. I knew two things during my crisis. One of them was that I really didn't know what to do, and the second was that I really needed space. The work of validating those two things looked first like not doing something just to do something, not doing something until I knew what to do. This was really hard because you can't school your wisdom. I couldn't read more books or articles or go to meetings to figure it out. The practice was in clearing the path, habitually blocked by brambles of self-doubt and fear, to that wisdom, so it could tell me when we did know something and I would be able to hear it. Second, this looked like allowing myself what I strongly felt like I needed at the time if I could have it, which was a lot of space. For me, this looked like weekly house-sitting gigs rather than getting a sublet in a co-op, which would have been hard for my business and hard for my mental health. House-sitting was by far the more vulnerable choice because there was no guarantee of it, but it allowed me what I needed to practice and process and sort through my own shit. Though this was ostensibly a harder choice in some ways, it also kept me aligned in the fact that I had choice. I was not a beggar. And I could at any time get a sublet or go to San Diego or go to Tucson or go to New York and be taken in by people who loved and cared for me. Making the choice to stay allowed me to be aligned with myself as a chooser rather than a beggar. Even though it was more struggle, being a chooser was coming from a place of self-love, though even that is something I wasn't totally sure of while it was happening. Because struggle too can sometimes be a form of masochism, and it can be hard to tell the difference in the beginning. In the middle of it, I had several rounds of having to move through a deep fear of not knowing if what I was doing was the right choice. This felt like being yanked into a fear state by my self-doubt nearly constantly, and having to use every ounce of strength to be willing to let that fear go and get back to the place of wisdom. This happened thousands of times over the course of that crisis in bigger and smaller ways. This is actually how we manifest. Manifesting is not something we do with the universe. It's something we do inside of ourselves. It's committing and recommitting to our deepest, truest, wisest voice. This is what gives us more opportunity, more choice, more access to vision, and the courage enough to stay with the process of turning that vision into reality. I'm coming out of this valley now with an even better sense of self, faith, and understanding. Because I spent so long validating myself against a few deep, old, as yet unquestioned fears that at the time seemed very, very real, now there is some kind of anxiety that has left me. I'm stronger, more self-assured in the good way, and I feel even more committed to the loves of my life. I feel even more in love with life. Because that was so hard. The things that used to feel hard now feel easier, which means life in general feels easier. Not easy, and not always, but certainly a noticeable amount. And the practice is not done. There was a period of time after I understood that I would have housing, which allowed me to stay in the Bay and which would be a huge boon to growing my business, that this prodigious wave of relief passed over me. It was so powerful that for a few weeks, everything just felt okay and good and right with the world. I was practically floating around. And then one day I woke up and I wasn't anymore. And so the practice starts over. It is easier now and I understand it more, but it is in no way absent. What used to take me days to work through now takes me hours, but I still have to do the practice. And if I thought that it was all just supposed to poof away and be better because I did a hard thing, or that I was going to stay on that floaty high forever, I would be caught right back in the mind because I would be pissed that it didn't happen like that and I would petulantly resist practice. Please don't make this mistake. It doesn't work that way, and it has nothing to do with you being someone who doesn't deserve happiness. That mindset is a function of confused expectations because that's literally just not how it works. And the trouble is, we need you and what you can bring to the world. We need you to validate your own wisdom so that you, we, and our future can benefit. Practice always makes us stronger and better, no matter what. If you want to manifest, be a chooser. Choose you, choose us, choose practice, choose wisdom. These choices make a difference, whether you can see it in the moment or not. One of Steve Jobs' famous quotes is that you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backward, and you just have to trust that it will make sense when you do. This is what it's like to validate our wisdom. In the beginning, it resembles the feeling of flinging ourselves off of a ledge, not really knowing if we'll fly or fall. But the thing is, if you continue practicing with wisdom, you can't actually fall. Even if things don't work out in the way you hoped, you understand this as part of the landscape of the universe, which means you still float. I'll end with my favorite quote on this subject, by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. The bad news is that you are falling through the air, nothing to hang on to and no parachute. The good news is there's no ground. Practicing validating your wisdom means that you come to have an embodied, unshakable trust that there is no ground. When you know you can't fall, you can make leap after leap after leap. This practice in validation is the work of manifesting. This practice is what allows us access to our greatest hopes. And what we need right now in the world is a lot more people bringing their greatest hopes from imagination to reality. We need you. Please don't forget that. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with our regular format. Stay with us.